in the World. I'm John Batchelor. August 4th, Saturday night, at a grand old party dinner in Alabama, the leading candidate for the presidential nomination for the Republican Party, former President Donald Trump, speaking extemporaneously to a very watchful audience, remarked how Andy McCarthy, our Andrew McCarthy of National Review Online, is a supporter or in some fashion endorses, or even Andy McCarthy finds my candidacy vivid. Well, I saw some version of that on Twitter. Immediately, I hesitated calling my friend Thaddeus McCotter because I couldn't believe it. We've talked to Andy for months, and here he is again to explain himself. Andy, since we spoke a week ago, what's happened to you? How did you become a Trump supporter after all your articulate columns outlining exactly why Donald Trump is not the right candidate for 2024? Good evening to you, Andy.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. I guess I just had to let my inner MAGA out. I don't know. I think I hate being part of the story here, because I think it's you should always avoid that, doing what we do, which is it's hard to do good analysis when you're in the middle of something. But I do think that, you know, the big thing that was going on for the former president when he gave the speech in Alabama last week was obviously the indictment that had been brought against him in Washington, D.C. And it was really in that context, and not as like a campaign supporter, that he brought me up, because he was quite right that I have been critical of the indictment against him in Washington, which I think is a weak case, or at least a very strained case, that it was a mistake for the special counsel to bring if they could not prove, which evidently they can't prove, that there was an actionable link between former President Trump and the violence of the Capitol riot. And since Jack Smith is a special counsel, unlike me when I was a prosecutor, he is allowed to write a report about a case that he doesn't charge. Whereas when I was a prosecutor, if you couldn't make a case, you closed the file and moved on to the next case. You didn't issue a report about the case you couldn't make. So what I really thought Smith would do is write a narrative report about what he learned in connection with January 6th, and that would stand as basically the executive branch and the Justice Department's version of events. He's elected to bring charges, and I think he had to have very extravagant constructions of the statutes that he invoked in order to bring those charges. And for that reason, I've been a critic of the case, whereas in connection, for example, with Mar-a-Lago, I think that's a very strong case, and I've said so. And I've also said, in connection with the January 6th stuff, that Trump cited me as supportive in terms of the case that was just brought against him. I think there's no legal case, but I do believe he should have been impeached and disqualified on the basis of that. So I guess if that's what the supporters are saying, you have to wonder what the non-supporters are saying.
Thaddeus, good evening to you. I have a question for our colleague, Andy.
Well, Andy, it seems to be a consistent pattern. Just because you can agree that the Democrats are politicizing the law and weaponizing government against the right, and showing that Donald Trump was being persecuted in this instance, it does not necessarily mean that everything he has done has been perfect. And unfortunately, he's just taking a rather blunt approach and dragging people into it to try to make himself look better, when the reality is that this is a problem for all Americans, not just him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think it goes to something that you've been speaking about as well, which is, this raises the quandary, you know, to get it away from me for a second and turn it to something that's more important, which is the candidates in the race for the Republican nomination, and the fact that they are being bombarded with questions about Trump. What I've been fearful about all along, as somebody who is a conservative Republican, is the fact that no other candidate besides Trump in this media environment seems to be able to get any oxygen or any traction, because what the Democrats, I think, quite intentionally are doing is this series of indictments and civil complaints, which are all targeted at Trump, and which caused this dynamic where the media is constantly asking the candidates not what their positions are on the important issues facing the country, but what they think of what's going on with Trump. And this will be a continuing dynamic unless they figure out a way to get out of it, which you're trying to suggest to them. And I think you should probably talk about that. Unless they get out of this, then the Democrats will get what they want, which is, trying to get Trump nominated. And they're doing that, obviously, because they think they can crush him in the November election.
To come to a complete understanding, you have written discerningly of the Mar-a-Lago case, the documents case, in which you believe the government has a certain strong case to make, but it will take some time because these are confidential papers, secret papers, and the lawyers need to have access to them for discovery, and that in alone can take months. As I understand it, Judge Cannon wants to begin trial in May of 24, which you are doubtful will be achieved. The other case, the one brought most recently by Special Counsel Smith in Washington, is to deal with the charge of conspiracy to defraud and other languages in the federal code. You do not believe that that is a strong case, and I'm not certain that I've read you believe it can come to trial sooner than May 24th or later than May 24th. That's what I can summarize so far. So the question I have is, are these two cases going to bump up against each other? Do the judges talk to each other, the Washington judge and the Florida judge?
Yeah, John, I think they're already going to bump against each other in this sense. I mean, when you and I and Thaddeus discussed the complications of the Classified Information Procedures Act that would make it hard for Judge Cannon in Florida to get the Mar-a-Lago documents case to trial in May, that was before the developments of the last 10 days or so, where they have actually filed a superseding indictment, which adds not only charges, but a new defendant to the case. So every time you add new people to the case and new events, but particularly new defendants, you have to get another lawyer into the case who has to get a security clearance to review the discovery, which potentially pushes them back even further. And then this week's development is that the special counsel appears to be laying the groundwork to move for the disqualification of the lawyer for one of Trump's co-defendants, this guy Waltine Nada. If they succeed in pushing him out of the case, you have to start from ground zero and get another lawyer in for that guy who has a security clearance or who can get a security clearance, which takes time, and then you start to review the discovery. And this all takes place in the context where Jack Smith, the special counsel, decided to bring the Mar-a-Lago case first rather than bring the post-2020 election case first. And by doing that, I think he gives Trump a very strong argument in Washington that because Smith has already entangled him in the Florida case where the judge is trying to get the case to trial in May, he has undermined Trump's due process right to prepare for the post-2020 election case in Washington, which will result in that having to be pushed back. At least that will be the argument that they make. So you're quite right to raise this because I think the scheduling gets very, very complicated.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Andy, to go back to kind of close the circle on this, you mentioned the Mar-a-Lago case. When you look at that, a lot of the people on the right are saying that Trump should not have been indicted over that because Joe Biden hasn't been, Hillary Clinton hasn't been. But that's a regrettable position, isn't it? Because in the end, you shouldn't be arguing that because some people were above the law, somebody else should be. The argument is everybody should be subject to the law, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The problem with that case is that Hillary Clinton wasn't charged and that Joe Biden won't be charged, not that Trump was charged. I don't think it's not a defense. And the reason I continue to say that the Mar-a-Lago case is strong even though the political argument that we have a two-tier justice system is also strong, is because that's really not going to be an argument that Trump can get very far with a jury on. In the Mar-a-Lago case, the judge is going to instruct the jury that their job is to decide whether the government has proved its case against Trump. And the fact that other people may have committed similar crimes and didn't get charged is not for the jury to worry about. Now, Trump is going to hope that the jury overlooks that and they will nullify and acquit him. But that's a thin hope to have to beat a case that is otherwise strong. But you're right. The weakness of the position is that it's not that Trump shouldn't be prosecuted. It's that these other people should have been prosecuted.
We're speaking with Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online and Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness about you need a scorecard. There are competing judges, competing trials, competing venues, and there's more to come, we're told, perhaps in Georgia. So when we come back, some terms of art that Andy has taught me in reading his articles. Forum shopping. What is it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.